Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. What a fantastic day that our Father gives us when we can study His Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse and learn His emotions, His feelings. And we just thank Him for the privilege even of being allowed to serve Him, to study His Word, and let His Word bless us all in our daily lives. We have just completed the Babylonian Wars, 9 chapters of it, of God warning you over and over, the king of Babylon is coming and he's going to be wielding my sword. Meaning, what God is saying, I'm going to allow him to do it. Now, if God gives you 9 chapters of warning, you should pretty well have it down in your head not to worship the false one. You should also at the same time know he's coming. And God does set watchmen to warn in the end times, especially when the king of Babylon is none other than Satan himself coming as Antichrist. And God will allow him to deceive as many people as will follow him at the sixth trump. It's going to happen. This is why God would repeat over and over in those 9 chapters, King of Babylon is coming, and that is Antichrist in the end times. That's the type. You should have it down pretty well right now. You should be locked and loaded and forewarned. So, having said that, the war over now, we're going to pick up the second half of this situation. And here we almost see the announcement of salvation coming for those who will. Chapter 33, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, listen carefully, son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man each of their coast, and set him for their watchman, in other words, I've warned you enough that you should be sharp enough that you're going to set you a watchman. Because he is coming. You need a watchman to forewarn of the Antichrist. Verse 3. If when he seeth the sword, Antichrist, come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. I thank our Heavenly Father that he has given this ministry a trumpet that goes around the world. And we give that warning of that coming of the false Messiah, for indeed he is coming. Just as our Father has warned us. And we are intelligent enough to know and to put that watchman on duty to warn the people to watch your soul. Verse 4, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, that's the warning, and taketh not warning, could care less, if the sword come, if the Antichrist comes, and take him away, deceives him, this blood shall be upon his own head. It's his own fault. He's been warned, forewarned. The scriptures warned him that the Antichrist was coming. God set a watchman to warn the people that the Antichrist was coming. So his blood's on his own head. Verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. And that soul means your eternal soul, eternal life, when you do not worship the false Messiah. That sword, God made it very clear in that 9 chapters, over and over, he warned you. I'm allowing the king of Babylon to carry my sword. I'm going to check the children out. That's what it's about. Have you read my word whereby you stay true to me, or are you going to worship him? It's your choice. Verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword come, you see the Antichrist coming, and blow not the trumpet, if you don't warn the people, and the people be not warned if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. It's a sin. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now, I would hate to be in the shoes of people that so-called teach God's word and do not heed this warning and do not warn the congregation, do not warn the people, because there's a payday coming. God blesses those abundantly that blow that trumpet. This has nothing to do with the seven trumps of God. It's the warning of the coming of the false one. 9 chapters God brought it forth to us. The battle of Babylon, which is to say the king of Babylon, which is none other than the Satan himself, in this generation. These things happened as an ensample, whereby all you have to do is look at it to know what befalls us in the end. It's that simple. That's the way God teaches. I would hate to be in the shoes of one that would not sound that warning. I would especially hate to be in the shoes of someone that taught people to jump on the wagon of the false one. That is to say, Satan's message is, I've come to rapture you away. I would hate to be in the shoes of someone that taught someone to get on that boat, be the first one taken, and go with that first one, because that is the Antichrist. Lot to answer for there. I'm glad that judgment begins at the pulpit. Verse 7, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now you'll remember back in chapter 24, verse 24, that God set Ezekiel as a sign for us. Okay, took his wife even. And set him up as an example whereby the people would come to. What does all this mean? It means this. The Antichrist is coming first. You do not want to be deceived. And that watchman will always watch. That watchman God says. That mouth shall come open, no longer dumb. That simply means being allowed to have the platform to take that message forth. Praise be to God. And those teachers around this world that have that truth and will teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse and warn the people, whereby many more will be pulled from the fire of Satan's grasp than will be deceived by him. Verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. God's going to require it of the watchmen, those that claim to be watchmen, that is. They're really not. They just set themselves up as one. And they never give the warning. Maybe it's because they don't realize the false Christ is coming first and they're caught up in this flyaway doctrine, which is not biblical. It's been since the year 1832 taught. What a sad state of affairs when God has the gospel armor that we put on and put in place to stand as watchmen, to watch, to warn, to observe. What a precious time to live, and what a privilege it is to serve the living God and give that warning. Take heed, my friends. 9 chapters you've had. The false one is coming. Are you prepared for it? Verse 9. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, don't be deceived. If he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. As long as you teach truth boldly and straightforward, then you're in good standing with Father, and he will bless you out of your bonnet to give you more power and more room to do what? To be a watchman, to save people, to help them from that disgusting deception that is coming upon the world. Verse 10, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus you speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? What it's saying is, if you get on such guilt trips, and all you can do is pine away about, oh, the world just picks on me, the world gives me a lot of trouble, everybody's after me, and all you could ever have is negative thoughts of tearing down a ministry of God rather than building one up, shame on you. God will punish you to the ultimate. Get off your guilt trip. look at the brighter light. Be a watchman of God's children. Be a part of the family of winners that have eternal life. That's the way you do it. God said, don't. Don't with guilt. Sit around and say, I wonder what I can do. Do it. But what do I do? Well, God's Word. 9 chapters He has given you of exactly how it's going down in each nation. How are you doing, friend? Listen to your Father's Word, verse 11 of chapter 33 in the acrostics of 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. He's swearing by Himself. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, 2 times for emphasis, from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why in the world would you wish that upon yourself? It is when God gives you the warning, 9 chapters of it, let you know the sword of Satan is coming. It's not the sword of the Lord in Revelation chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, but of Satan. As long as you are forewarned, you're foreadvised, and with God's protection, you've got nothing to worry about anyway. You don't want to get on some guilt trip and get out of the program, or you'll suffer for it. But it gives, understand your Father's emotions. What did He say? I don't get any pleasure from having to correct someone and send them to hell. They're my children. I love them. That certainly does not please me none whatsoever. Verse 12. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live with his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. You might say, well, exactly what does that mean? That means you can be a churchgoer. You can be one of the best people in the world. And you're just really busting yourself to do the very best you can. And you're supposed to be a virgin bride awaiting Christ, the true Messiah. And if all your righteousness, if you turn around and worship the devil as the Antichrist, then you blew it. You threw it all out the window, just like that. That's what the warning is, my friend. Don't go there. It doesn't matter how good a person you are. God sent you a letter letting you know the wicked one is coming first. There's not going to be any flyaway. There's not going to be any rapture doctrine. He's coming to deceive the world, but God has given you power over him. Luke 10, verse 19, I give you power over all of your enemies, the serpent, the scorpion, the whole batch, okay, in the name of Jesus Christ. But you can be as good as you wish to be, and I mean be a church potato, pew potato, all your life, and never study God's Word, you're probably going to fall, because you're going to fall for the lie, the deception. And God said, I don't care how righteous you are, naturally, if you worship Satan, you're a Satan worshiper. You're no longer a virgin to take part in the beautiful wedding that's going to be when the 10 virgins go forth to the wedding supper. 5 of them miss out. Don't be one of those 5 that miss. He's given you 9 chapters warning you that the false one's coming first to every nation on this earth. See that you're not deceived by it, that you stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ and all the righteousness that you've done, that you do not put sin to it by worshiping the false one. You know, it's written in Revelation chapter 9. That those that do this, that are really good people, but end up worshiping Satan, they pray for the mountains to fall on them. They're too ashamed to pray, face the true Christ. They're so ashamed of what they've done. That's why it's so important that that warning go forth to prevent as many of our people as at all possible that they're not deceived in that net, that trap that God allows Satan to spread on those that are unwarned, unstudied, unlearned in the sweet letter that our Father has sent to us, telling us exactly how it's going down. Let's go with the next verse, please. Verse 13. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness, that's self-righteousness, hypocritical, and commit iniquity, sin, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. That's how you want to watch your step. You want to stay in the traces, pulling in the right direction. Our Father's on the throne. The trumpet's being sounded. The word's going forth. The watchmen are set. What are you doing? How are you doing? Don't worship the false one. 9 chapters. I'm repeating myself for a reason. 9 chapters you've been warned that the false one comes first. Why would you be deceived? Be a watchman. Warn people. Sound that alarm. And a person, again, as he stated in that verse, you can be as good as you want to be, but you mess around and worship Satan when he comes as Antichrist, you're going to die. Verse 14. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if he hears that warning of the trumpet, if he hears that warning of the watchman, and changes his way, changes his beliefs, then you have brought him eternal life. 15. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he hath robbed, falling off from truth to lies, walk in the statutes of life, that's according to this word, without committing iniquity, sin, he shall surely live, he shall not die. So there is hope for everyone. But you see how salvation is working into this. Not a national thing, but an individual thing. I don't know, how are you doing, friend? How's it going with you? Are you a watchman? God's elect are supposed to be watchmen in this end time. Giving that warning, the false one's coming first. How are you fixed? Verse 16. None of his sins, listen to this verse real close. I get more questions on this of people saying, I sinned when I was so and so, and I just have asked God to forgive me. Listen carefully. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Once you repent of all your sins, it is erased from the book of life, and God will never, ever, ever mention it to you again. You're home free. Why? You're in the simplicity of the teachings of Almighty God. You're not going to follow the wicked one. You're going to make a stand. And stand you shall. You will stand for something, or you'll stand for nothing, or you'll fall for anything. 17. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. It's the children. Why are they not equal? You get out here and you listen to some yo-yo and decide you don't even have to study God's word because he's told you you're going to be gone. So why study God's word if the preacher says you're going to be gone? What if the preacher's lying to you, which he is, maybe honestly or maybe in ignorance? Doesn't matter. It's still going to end you up and take your life. When God sent you this beautiful letter in detail telling you of his love for you and his wanting you to come to that point of salvation whereby you can live forever, God's ways are equal. You get what you got coming to you, and you get it all at one time. Okay? If you have truly served him, you're going to be blessed. There's no doubt about that. I can certainly witness to that, as if anyone ever did in this world, that God would take a little town in northwest Arkansas and give it one of the largest platforms in the world at this time of free speech and of taking that trumpet and sounding it around the world. That's a blessing. Not done by men, but by God himself. Praise be to God. God's ways are more than equal. But you got to work for it. It doesn't come free. And it doesn't come easy. You have to work for it. Your salvation is already paid for. That's easy. It cost God an awful price. The Son on the cross. But sounding that trumpet takes work. And you need to do it. 18. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. That's only fair. Okay. If you have served God seemingly, and all of a sudden, after these 9 chapters of warning, you end up in the sack with Satan, thinking it's Christ, going to his wedding, and when Christ returns, as he would say in Mark 13, woe to those that are with child. He wasn't speaking about a mother with a natural pregnancy. That's a blessing. But he's talking about those that are spiritually impregnated with false teaching, whereby they worship Satan and even help nurse along his work. You'll die for it. You won't make the cut. Well, wonder why not? You worship Satan. Is that too hard to understand? If you worship Satan, you're in the pit with him, right where you belong. God's ways are fair. Verse 19. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. One that is so deceived and he has even misled people, if he will turn and begin teaching truth, those 9 chapters of warning, the false ones coming first, do not be deceived, and correct his inadequacies, he's going to live. God is fair. There's nothing unfair about that. He has earned it. He or she deserve it. Verse 20. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. In other words, it becomes an individual thing, not national. Every one is judged individually by his or her ways. And you don't have to, if you set yourself up as a watchman, you don't have to wait till heaven to find out how you're rewarded. He's going to do it today. Verse 21. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, the city is smitten. It has happened. In other words, what we've got here is the king of Babylon has taken it. Verse 22. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening before he that was escaped came and had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning and my mouth was opened and I was no more dumb. I could begin to prophesy. Okay. God said, it is time. Now you can begin to prophesy. That has come to pass, that God does let us know the trumps, the seasons, the times, and lets us know when it is time. God opens mouths, that means minds, to the word of God and the truth, and begins to sound that alarm to let you know you're in that season. You want to be very careful, especially in this generation of the fig tree. What this means, the sixth trump is sounded. He's here. The one that was promised to come. 23, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, 24, son of man, they that inhabit those wastes in the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many, and the land is given us for inheritance. We own it, set up the borders and put up the fig tree, and it's all ours. Verse 25. Wherefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, listen carefully. Ye eat with the blood and lift up your eyes toward your idols and shed blood. And shall ye possess the land? Do you think you're going to? You go through these blood rituals. when the blood, all the blood that was necessary was shed on the cross. Verse 26, you stand upon your sword. You work abomination. And ye defile one another, his neighbor's wife. And shall you possess the land? You defile the Christ, you defile the Christ's bride by allowing them to worship the false Christ, to fall into false religion. To stand upon your sword is a Hebraism, which means in the position of the necromancer, which is that's someone that throws a voice in that's not really God's voice, pretending like it's God speaking or God's way. And I'll put it a different way. It's someone making a bunch of puppets, dummies out of you, putting words in your mouth, and allowing you to worship a false Christ instead of the true. 9 chapters he has warned you that this is going to come to pass. And in this chapter, it's here. The warning has gone out. Don't allow him to put words in your mouth. Listen to the truth of God's word and stay with it. 27, say thou thus unto them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live. This is God swearing by himself. It doesn't get any more serious. As I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beast to be devoured, and they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. It is coming when the vials are poured out. It's going to happen. Our Father gives us ample warning. Are you ready for it? You know, and God is always fair. You've had your warning. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to serve God? Or are you just kind of going to put it to one side and maybe get on some guilt trips and maybe think the world's been unfair to you? And instead of acting for the Father, preparing yourself and setting yourself up as a watchman. You see, the greatest thing that one can do in this end generation, that even the prophets wanted, was to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to witness through them, to stand against this false one when he comes. You want to be prepared for that. What a destiny and what a purpose. What a way to serve the living God. Those that claim to be what they probably are not, that's both the good and the bad fig, you want to be real careful. Verse 28, for I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none may pass thereby. Do you understand why? Because Satan will have taken over at this time, and the whole world is going to be whoring after him. It's written in the great book of Revelation. Except those that heed the warning, and those that make that stand for the living God. 29, then shall they know that I am the Lord. That's the whole purpose. When I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. When Christ left this city at one time, about the last time, they said, Master, look at these buildings. Matthew 24. Look at them. What's it? And Christ said, don't you know there's a time coming there won't be one stone left standing atop another here? Why? Because he's going to cleanse it. That hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. And he will cleanse it and make it all right. That's after the Antichrist stands on the holy in the holy place, claiming to be the Lord Jesus Christ. What a cleansing day is coming. Where are you going to be? Again, I'll question, are you a watchman? Or can you be deceived? Verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls in the doors of the house, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. The word against here is a little strong. It should be about. They're talking about you. they kind of want to know what the Lord says, and they kind of begin to listen. Why? To the watchman. They hear that word, and it grows day by day until people are warned, and they come out of Babel, which is to say confusion, into the bright light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and serve Him and follow Him and continue sounding that alarm. It is not nice to have to sit back and see your people suffer and be so deceived and lied to by so many people about what is really transpiring in this world at this time. Therefore, you have to make hay while the sun shines and keep that watchman on duty. Keep that watchman yourself giving and heeding that alarm. Verse 31, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness," their selfishness. They can't help it, I guess. Satan gets a hold of some people, and hey, I see them suffer and squirm and wiggle, and I know what goes on too. So does our Father. And it's a sad situation. But that should not deter you one iota from bringing forth the Word of God chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Why? That's why blessings flow. Blessings flow because God loves His children. He doesn't want them mistreated. He wants them to be warned. He does not wish them to die. It gives Him no pleasure to see His children deceived. So when you have the might and the right and a mind that knows truth, use it. Beware of those that selfishly will not listen to the Word of God. They will worship, no doubt, the Antichrist. So be quite careful, my friend. A lot of people like to play church. See that you stay a watchman in the service of the King, in the service of the living God, and always be blessed. Don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of the example set forth in the end times of the rebuilding of God's most favorite place on earth. Also, within these two books, you find the hidden secret, hidden from most people's eyes, that the study in the Hebrew and the Chaldee that is given in these particular books will teach you how that the priesthood itself became polluted during this period of time. This is to say about 400 years before Christ walked the earth to the time that He did walk, instructing you very wisely, setting the example of how it is that we gather back to Christ Himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. Our Father is the judge. Hey, He does a good job of it. You don't even have to worry about it. He'll take care of business. Okay. Let Him do that. You do have the right to discern. And to discern keeps you out of trouble and keeps you on the mark. Makes you a watchman. What a precious time to live, beloved, in this generation. To serve the living God. To be blessed. You think about it. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Now, you got a prayer request? Do away with the number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. Why? He's our Father. He's got time for you. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to listen to Him. Do you know that's why He created you? Because He wanted someone just like you. But He does want you to return His love because He sends it willingly and freely to you. He may not love what you're doing always, but repent He will never mention it to you again after you repent. Don't let some individual do it either. Repentance is repentance. That's the beauty of Christianity. That's what keeps family. You think about it. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch everyone, everywhere, in his precious name. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, now back into the questions. We're going to go with Dwayne from California. Why do I feel the Spirit come on more when I'm talking to those that know the truth than when I talk with those that don't? Well, it's like spirits are drawn together, and when we're two or more gathered, Christ is there. And this is the way God grows the very minds of people, is with those like minds that mesh and enjoy the very Word of God, the beauty of it, the salvation that is entailed therein. Not only are you going to enjoy visiting with them here, but you're going to be with them for the eternity. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. David from Iowa. When Moses was at the burning bush on Mount Sinai, he asked God what his name was. God said, "I am what I am." I'm guessing that meant he doesn't have a name. Then what does he give? Why does he have a name in the concordance, or is that just the Hebrew name for God? Well, you're misquoting what he said in the first place. He did not say, "I am what I am." He said, "I am that I am," which in the Hebrew tongue is Iyah Ashayah. And from that comes the four constants. That's the etymology of his name. That's what his name is. He is whatever he wishes to be, whenever he needs to be, or wherever he wants to be. All inclusive, to be helpful and loving and wonderful for his children. The consonants from that come up YHVH. Which, when you add then the vowels so the human tongue can pronounce it, it is Yahweh. And that is his name. That is the sacred name. And we love him for that. And, of course, the Son's name being Yeshua, which is to say Yahweh's Savior. Well, he has a name. If you want to be blessed, you'll probably use it in your prayer. That's what he likes to be called. That's what he told Moses to call him. Janet from Pennsylvania, you said that Jesus was not born on Christmas but was conceived about that time. I want to know if it is still all right to get together with loved ones to celebrate Jesus' birthday, even though it was the day of conception. Well, if you read Luke 1, you find out on the day of conception, John leapt in the womb of Elizabeth. When Christ approached, so when did Christ begin dwelling with us? At conception, the Holy Spirit did. So there will be, the Christmas program will be showing a time or two between now and then, going into much detail and documenting that date from Luke 1. You see, Elizabeth's husband was a priest of the of Aaron, the sons of Aaron, and a Levitical priest. And he was a priest of the course of Abiah. That's a date. So that makes it real easy to figure the very time of the conception. And here we have Michelle from West Virginia. Dear Pastor Murray, my name is Michelle. I'm 7 years old. I have watched you all of my life. Well, great. That's fantastic. With my mom, I would like to know if animals can be angels. Well, we know from Isaiah chapter 11, darling, that angels are there, and they're in spiritual bodies. Now, but they are animals, and God loves animals. That's why he had animals in the first earth age, which we find artifacts from. That's why we have them now, and that's why we're going to have them in spiritual form even then. Thank you for studying, and thank you all your life. That's quite a compliment for, you know, not too many people can say that they've studied all their life. You're an exception. I love you for that. Melvin from Arkansas, can you please give a detailed explanation of born again with scripture documentation? Well, I can do this. The Greek word again, as it is used here, is anathen. Anathen. It is the Greek word 509 in your Strong's Concordance in the Greek dictionary as it is utilized in John chapter 3, which is where you're pulling from. The word means from above or from the first. It means to be born again from above, or it means to be born again from the first earth age. Why? Because you were with God. This is where the angels went wrong when they were not born of woman, but left their place of habitation, as it is written in the great book of Jude, and rather than be born of woman, seduced woman. Genesis chapter 6. 509, Greek dictionary, that's all the documentation you need. Charles from California, is Satan chained in heaven? Well, he's locked in heaven by Michael until God gives the command to cast him out on earth, and then he's coming, as we learn today from the scripture, when that sixth trump sounds, he's here. Not only is he here, but all of the Nephilim are with him. All of the fallen angels are with him. And that's why it's written, woe to you on earth. It's going to test the saints, but they won't have any problem. We can cut it. Why? Because we got power over them. They are afraid of us, and they should be, because we know how to handle them. That time is coming, and that's why God sends watchmen. Marie from Georgia. Pastor Murray, can you please clarify about in the first earth age how Satan was over people without souls? There is not a living being, person, that doesn't have a soul. So I really don't know where you come up with without souls. He robbed their souls, stole their souls. That is to say, caused them to worship him and robbed them, stole them away from God like stealing sheep. But a third of God's children followed him, as Revelation chapter 12 so stipulates. He's the old dragon, and his tail drew a third of them, his tail being his stories, his lies, his deception. His deception is still pretty strong today. I mean, it works in through the four hidden dynasties, and you want to be sharp. If you're a watchman, you know who those four hidden dynasties are. That is to say, political, educational, financial, and last but not least, religious, religion. Satan uses those very things. Satan uses pulpits. Well, I wouldn't know that Satan would do that. Well, what do you think he tempted Christ with? Scripture. He's a scripture lawyer. And don't ever think he won't use religion. It's one of his favorite tools. And sad to say, many of our people are not aware of it. Darren, but that's why we are watchmen. Darren from Alabama, can you please tell me where in the Bible that talks about the seven seals? The seven seals are written in the Word of God in Revelation chapter 6. They are not in consecutive order. They are in consecutive order as you should learn them, because the seals go in your forehead. That's in your brain, whereby you know and are able to recognize the trumps when they sound. And the first seal becomes the most important. And after today's lecture, you will really understand why. Because the first seal is, who is this riding this great white horse coming in here? Well, that's what Christ is supposed to ride. No, but he's the Antichrist. Because why? His bow, which would naturally be a prison of beautiful, wonderful light, is toxon in the Greek, which is a cheap fabric imitation. Because he's a cheap imitation. Don't let him deceive you. That's what today's lecture was about. Sounding the warning, the false one comes first. That's why he's also in the first seal. Because that's one of the foremost and most important things for a Christian to know. That the false one comes first. Amy from West Virginia, what does the Bible say about murderers? Can they be forgiven for what they've done? The Lord can, but in the flesh they cannot be forgiven. But, you know, you must understand what murder actually is. There are crimes of passion that are not murders. It's a vengeful killing. But it's not one that simply is just born mean, ornery, evil, and lies in wait just to kill somebody for the pleasure of killing them for no reason. And those cannot have forgiveness in the flesh because they had no reason. But God can forgive them if they deserve it, because that's why he wants them sent to him. That's why he demands execution in one form or the other, because the person they murdered is right there waiting along with the Father to talk to them. Pat from Georgia, is the Antichrist already in the world? Absolutely not. Don't worry, when Antichrist comes, Satan's evil spirit is in the world, along with all of his little fallen angels. Their little spirits are in the world. They can take people over. They can have people. You know, a demonic spirit can have you feeling so sorry for yourself and making you think you're something you're not, quicker than anything you can imagine. But understand this. When the Antichrist is kicked from heaven, you're going to see headlines from one end of the world to the other that Messiah has returned, that Mohammed has returned, that whatever religion you are, the head person has returned, because he sets himself up as one and all. L.A. from South Carolina. Let's see, as being saved, can I bless my own olive oil, or do I need a preacher to bless it for me? No, you don't bless it, and a preacher can't bless it for you. God does. Okay, this is where a lot of preachers make big mistakes. They don't bless it. They ask the Father to bless it if it's going to be real. Okay, so any Christian, including yourself, can bless that olive oil, and it becomes anointing oil. And also, I'm not in a church, but I feel like I'm in a church every morning with you teaching God's Word. Am I wrong for feeling this way? No, we are a church. This is Shepherd's Chapel. Who is the shepherd? The Lord Jesus Christ. And we all work for him. And all you have to do to join this church is talk to him. And if he approves you, we're sure not going to stand in your way. You're a member. Matthew, 8 years old, I'm not sure where Matthew is from, but you know, don't you, Matthew? Okay, I like your program a lot. And I was thinking, when you go to heaven, that it was like, is it like Jerusalem or Bethlehem? Is it true that, or is it not? Well, I'll tell you what, Matthew, it's even going to be better than that. God is going to, as it is written in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, he's going to rejuvenate this whole world and put it back in the condition it was even in the first earth age, to where there is nothing that offends. And the whole world, from North Pole to South Pole, is going to be beautiful, inhabitable, and pleasant. And thanks for the question. Sammy from North Carolina, I heard you say that there is no such thing as getting a mark in your forehead or in your hand. Please explain. You misunderstand. I said there's no such thing as a mark on your forehead. Quite the contrary, it is in your forehead. That's where your brain is, and you're deceived. People who think they're going to fly away and they don't have to study God's Word have already received a mark in their mind. They're deceived. They think they don't have to study God's Word because some man told them they didn't. I think you'd be a lot better off if you listened to your Father, Almighty God. He's the judge. And he says, serve me. Do it. And that's what he meant. No. And in your hand means doing Satan's work. They not only are deceived in their forehead, but they also are working, doing Satan's work. That's what it means. Why? They like to join his church, and they like to help out the church. And here they go. That's what deception will do for you. How do you prevent the deception? You study God's Word. He sent you this letter so you're informed and you're not made a fool of. Kevin from North Carolina, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Question, seek me early in the morning. I seek 5 a.m. to learn his letter, or seek the Lord early in life as a youth. Can it be both? Well, it could be both, and I like your point. We are early sometimes, and that is studying the Lord. Also, Proverbs 8 is one of the greatest proverbs in God's Word. It's wisdom speaking. And truly, that is wisdom. Thank you for your comment. Bandora from Georgia. My question is, please explain Isaiah 65:4. Should we not eat pork? Is it a sin? My desire is to do that. What God is righteous in the sight of God. Thank you for your advice. Well, he's mocking in 65:4. He said, when you play act, then you might as well go ahead and eat swine's flesh and blood, because I'm not going to honor it. But your health laws are in Leviticus chapter 11. You see, God created scavengers, and that's good, because they clean up all the filth off the earth where we're not poisoned by it. But he sure did not intend then that we turn around and eat the poison, because it is. You see, swine do not have sweat glands. Therefore, all the poison they consume goes to the fat and is stored in their very bodies, and in large part. Therefore, being a scavenger, it's very unhealthy to partake of swine's flesh. So it's whether you want to be healthy or you want to be sick. That's what it amounts to. Many will say, well, the New Testament doesn't say that. Oh, but yes, it does. In Timothy, Christ makes it very clear through Paul that don't ever let anyone judge you in marriage, and don't ever let anyone judge you in what you eat, when it is that God created to be received. You see, that's what people read over. They just don't read anymore. To partake that God created to be received. He did not create scavengers to be received. But yet scavengers are good, because they take care of the business God created them for, keeping disease away from us. It is not a sin like to hell. It is a sin against your health not to eat. As God created these bodies, he knows what makes them healthy. He knows what makes them right. Do it his way and be blessed. Barbara from Texas. Question. During one of your teachings of the Bible said that the sins of the father are his sins and the sins of the son are his sins. Please explain generational curses that some teach. Well, again, there we go. It is true. Everybody answers for their own sins. This generational thing comes from Exodus chapter 20. The Ten Commandments, where you're not supposed to put anything, any other God before the Heavenly Father, and that God curses even to the tenth generation for those that hate Him. I can do better than that. God disapproves of 100 generations if they hate Him or if they're against Him. It doesn't matter. That's each generation standing on its own, hating God. God's not going to appreciate that. But all any one individual has to do is say, Father, I love you, and mean it. And that's over with. You're on your own. But that's why the generational thing comes in, where it would say 10 generations. Generations doesn't have anything to do with it. The fact is, the verb is that they hated him. Sabrina from California. Question. My question is on cremation. Is it okay? My husband was cremated. Will he go to heaven? Will I see him? He's already in heaven. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. He's on one of the other sides of the gulf in Luke chapter 16. There is nothing wrong with cremation. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. The spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, your spiritual body, instantly goes back to the Father from which it came, from above. and the flesh goes back to dirt from which it came. We're through with it. It doesn't matter whether it's cremated or what. It's gone. It's back. We don't need it anymore. Why? It's not even your real body. Your real body is your spiritual body. Please understand that, and perhaps I shouldn't have said it, but because many people that have problems may not totally understand that, but Father knows. Leave it in Father's hands. Tim from Indiana. Pastor Murray, I am mentally ill and on disability. Am I considered to be a slackard because I don't work? Absolutely not. I know you hear me say 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, don't feed somebody that won't work. It's talking about healthy, able-bodied people. Okay. Not somebody that's handicapped. We this great nation of all nations takes care of its own in handicapped, and thank God for that. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. But you know what? It makes God's day. It really, He loves you for it. Why? It's the letter He sent to you. A letter helping you, guiding you, and warning you. See that you absorb it. Take it into yourself. Enjoy it. When you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. He will open the gates of knowledge for you because He is the author of all knowledge. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. But now, most important, you listen to me. Listen good. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on